Welcome to the Bad Movie Night Podcast, covering the worst movies you've never seen. Go to our website, badmovienightpodcast.com, to watch our show and to listen to other episodes of our podcast. We hope you enjoy listening to Bad Movie Night.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bad Movie Night Podcast. My name is Chris, and tonight we're going to talk about the 1995 sci-fi action movie Cyberzone / Droid Gunner / Phoenix 2.
Cyberzone. This movie had so many names.
Droid Gunner. Is that what they called him in the movie?
Yes. Yeah.
Just got that reference. That's a Blade Runner thing, right? Like they just... Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, that makes sense actually.
Yeah, I didn't realize it before we went into the movie, but it's a droid gunner is a bounty hunter. It was immediately apparent in the movie.
Yeah, and the plot is so similar to Blade Runner. And with droid gunner, because it's almost, if you reverse the B and the R in Blade Runner, you get droid gunner.
Full of shit right there, but I'm with you.
But it is also apparently a pseudo sequel to a movie called Phoenix from 1995, same year, back to back sci-fi action in your face, completely unrelated movies, yet they marketed it as Phoenix 2.
It's like Lord of the Rings. They just filmed them all at once.
Yeah, just there you go.
That and it's a masterpiece. You know what I mean?
And if Lord of the Rings, the first two movies had nothing to do with each other and none of the same actors or anything, then yes, I would agree with you, Todd. So how's it going? Tonight I'm joined by Todd.
What's up?
Aaron.
Hey.
And Rebecca.
Hey there.
The Fab Five, Four, whatever. Jesus. I think this is just us from now on. I don't know if AJ is never coming back. Scott said he's coming back, but he never came back, and that's it.
I feel like we should each have a name based on the genre of bad movie that we like the most. You know what I mean? So then it could be the four of us, but like I would always be the sword and sorcery guy.
Okay. Elaborate.
Who would you be though, Chris? You'd be the
Rapey McRapestein.
Me? How dare you, sir? Todd's Rapey McRapestein with all the sword and sorcery.
No. I just like a wholesome sword and sorcery movie. It doesn't have to be filled with rape.
There's no such thing, Todd.
Yeah.
Oh, we've seen like one.
I don't know if I describe that as wholesome, Todd.
Maybe a half of one.
So you're like Deathstalker 2? That's just your name?
I'm the horror guy, right? And Aaron is the...
You're the whore.
You're the whore.
Ooh. And Aaron... What is Aaron, though? He's an enigma.
Oh, I am. I'm special.
I don't even know what Aaron likes. I don't think Aaron likes anything. Rebecca, what do you like?
I don't know that I have like a type.
Is that why you married Todd?
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom. We'll be here.
Chambered shit. Since the beginning of this joke.
Oh, shit. That was a good one. All right. Let's dive into this. We watched Cyberzone, Droid Gunner, Phoenix, whatever the fuck you want to call it. It is a Fred Olin Ray movie, which is a name you should be familiar with if you're into bad movies. He has made at least 200 of them. He's produced so many. He is a schlocky, a movie director, producer. He's made some fun movies like Alienator. Todd, he made a movie called Wizards of the Demon Sword from 1991, which is a sword and sorcery movie.
I am in.
On the list.
He also made a movie with the director of Deathstalker 2, Jim Wynorski. He made a movie called Scream Queen Hot Tub Party in 1991, and they shot it in one day. It's got Linnea Quigley in it. We're probably going to have to watch that, right?
We
got to
watch that now, too.
Right? You know what I'm saying?
Everyone gives me crap about the sword and sorceries, but Chris is over there creeping on hot tub movies.
Well, but... I mean, to be fair, we have a good main actor that we know of now, so it's worth checking out just for that reason.
No, director. Jim Wynorski was the director.
Oh, Jim Wynorski was the director.
Too. Yeah. So, we have...
You lost Aaron after Hot Tub. He was just...
After this movie, I think I've seen enough breasts to last me for a good solid 7 years.
Whoa, spoiler alert. Jesus Christ.
There are a lot of boobs in this movie. Jesus.
And my wife just heard that in the background. She's like, really? Well, just shot myself in the foot with that one, fellas.
And lady? Nope, your quota is met.
Way to go, so, bad movie night. You ruined my life.
I will say, Matthias Hughes is in this movie. Big fan of Matthias Hughes. We've covered him before on
Big
Digital
fan.
Man.
Big fan.
I Come in Peace. This was a couple other things.
Very different role for him, too, though. We can get into that.
Yeah. More humor. I posted a message on Twitter saying that we're talking about this movie tonight, this masterpiece. Has anyone else seen it? And Matthias Hughes tweeted us and said that he has, in fact, seen it.
You tell Matthias Hughes that I think I know who I can do my impersonation of during our impersonation episode now.
Oh, you think you can do
it?
I'm not
going to spoil the surprise, but I think I have a solid Matthias Hughes impersonation. So that's who I'm going to pick for our impersonation episode.
Okay. All right, 1995, Aaron. We've covered it before with movies such as
Tough and Deadly, Virtual Combat, and To the Limit.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember all these.
Yeah.
Virtual Combat is the one I wanted to talk about. The similarities between this movie.
There are a few, yes.
Yeah. Namely a helicopter.
Actually, and there's a lot of similarities with To the Limit as well.
I was taken to the limit a few times in this movie. I will agree with you there. Yeah. But I don't really remember anything about To the Limit. I had Billy Blanks in it.
No.
Lots of roundhouses.
It didn't have Billy Blanks in it?
To the Limit? I thought that was the Anna Nicole Smith movie.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, right. It was. That's
what
the one we just watched.
Tough and Deadly. Okay.
We watched it like a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take this time to dive into Aaron's
informational
history,
thing.
Informational hole. It used to be the history hole where we would take a look at the year in which the movie was released. But since we've covered every year now that movies have been released, we kind of just dive into little anecdotes about the movie or perhaps the year in which the movie was released. I don't really know anymore. It gets weird. Let's just get in there and find out what happened.
Right. So this year is actually a history. This one is a history hole.
Oh, figures. Figures.
We're talking about film in 1995.
We finally figure everything out.
Yeah.
Hey, I like to keep you guys guessing.
Crack that case. And this is what we get.
Look, when you start calling things hidey holes and other stupid shit, I'm gonna ruin it. I'm going to go right back to history hole.
It's the hidey hole. Aaron's hidey hole. We are going to visit Aaron's hidey hole, where we'll get some facts and some fun stuff, because we're all going down to Aaron's hidey hole.
So, 1995. On May 19th, Die Hard with a Vengeance is released in theaters and becomes the year's second highest grossing film. It actually remained the highest grossing film from 1995 up until 2014 when Toy Story overtook it in re-release on DVD.
Really?
Yeah.
A re-release of Toy Story?
Yeah. Dude, I don't know. I mean, I like Toy Story. It's
not bad. I
feel
like that's surprising on two fronts.
How so?
Yeah, that's a weird one.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's surprising on two fronts. That was Todd. He alluded to something interesting and then just stopped talking. I love when he does that.
I think that's the best.
Welcome to my life.
I have the most important thing to say, guys. I'm going to say it at some point.
I want to be in a meeting with Todd when he just does, like, I have this really important thing, and he just gets up and walks out.
I thought the two fronts were obvious. It's a little surprising that Die Hard 2 with a Vengeance held the title for that long. And
Die
then it's 3, also
sir,
surprising.
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Or, sorry. And then it's also surprising that Toy Story re-released on DVD was the one that overtook it.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. There was actually a lot of movies that year, so we'll get into those. But on May 24th, Braveheart is released to critical and commercial success. It was directed by and starred our friend, well, unless you're Jewish, Mel Gibson.
I don't believe I've ever met him.
It went on to win 5 Academy Awards, including Best Picture and Best Director. June of that year, Pocahontas was released and was the largest premiere ever for a movie. It premiered in Central Park, New York, with an audience of 100,000 people with free admission.
Don't think I've ever seen it.
Can't say I have either. But it's like, probably like most Disney movies. I've heard it a million times, but I've never actively watched it.
Yeah.
In November,
is that Just Around the River Bend? I believe that song is in that, right?
I don't know.
I believe...
Just Around the River Bend.
I believe it is, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I know about Jumanji. What were you talking about? Pocahontas.
Pocahontas.
Jumanji.
I don't remember the theme song for Jumanji, but...
I don't think there was a theme song for Jumanji. Jumanji is not a Disney movie.
Jumanji.
All right, so after a six-year hiatus, the James Bond film series resumed in 1995 with GoldenEye, starring Pierce Brosnan.
Meh.
Yep, pretty terrible.
We need Sean Connery.
Oh, for God's sakes. Not again. I had nightmares about Sean Connery. And of course, Toy Story was released, debuting at number one, and was on the film charts for 18 weeks, marking the first feature-length film created completely using CGI. So that year for the Academy Awards, we had a best film was Braveheart, as we discussed. Best director was Mel Gibson for Braveheart. Best actor was Nicolas Cage for Leaving Las Vegas, a very depressing movie.
Yeah.
Best actress was Susan Sarandon in Dead Man Walking. Best supporting actor was Kevin Spacey for The Usual Suspects, which is a personal favorite of mine. And best supporting actress, Mira Sorvino for Mighty Aphrodite. Never saw that.
Pop quiz hot shot. Who is Braveheart about? Chris, who is the main old Scottish dude?
Some Scottish guy. William. I don't know. William Wallace.
Oh, nailed
and
it.
And he gets his drawn and quartered cut open. Yeah. And he shows his ass. And I forget some other stuff happens. There's some man ass in there.
It's nice that you had a few takeaways.
Every man dies, but not every man really truly lives or something. There.
What?
He
can take our lives, but never take our freedom.
Can't take his freedom.
And they kill his wife. And he gets mad. It's been a while since I've seen that movie.
That's been the Chris rundown.
And the queen falls for him. I don't remember.
I think we
need that right.
We needed like a new 30-second review segment of movies Chris saw 10 years ago. And it should be these short hot takes from Chris. Some ass, and he gets killed. It's about his wife.
That's like how fragmented my memory is of things.
Exactly.
This is Chris's hot takes. Braveheart. We got some man ass. We got some, you'll never take our freedom. That's about it.
And I recommend it.
Done and done.
All right. So the highest grossing films of 1995 were Toy Story, Die Hard with a Vengeance, Apollo 13, GoldenEye, Pocahontas, Batman Forever, Seven, What's in the Box, Casper, Waterworld, and Jumanji. So you were kind of on track there with Jumanji.
Jumanji.
Yeah, see, now we need a Jumanji song. This was an action / sci-fi / titty movie. Some similar movies were... I'm sorry, I had to throw it out there. Just like they did in every single scene of this movie. Waterworld, Mortal Kombat, Species, Tank Girl, Judge Dredd, Strange Days, Ghost in the Shell, Congo. Got to watch that. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, Virtuosity, and Johnny Mnemonic. That wraps up your 1995 history. Oh.
Man, 95 was a good year for movies. A lot of solid movies in there.
It was all right. Yeah, it wasn't bad. You said all those sci-fi ones that were related very quickly. I picked up on Species because that's kind of similar to this with the amount of nudity.
Do you need me to go through that more slowly?
No. I was too busy focusing on William Wallace. You guys had me all distracted trying to think about that.
He's looking for that scene with Mel Gibson's butt.
Thank you, Aaron, for your history hole. A little thing you get here randomly on Bad Movie Night. Let's dive into this movie.
You are listening to the Bad Movie Night podcast. Do you have a recommendation? A question? Do you want to talk about bad movies? Then join us over at our subreddit. Just search for Bad Movie Night on Reddit and join our community. Now, back to the show.
Aaron, what did you think of CyberZone?
Man, overall, not too happy with this one. There were some hints of, not brilliance, but...
Promise?
Potential or promise. Promise is a good one. There was parts of it that I thought were heading in the right direction, and then we would have the typical transition in this movie, which we can get into more detail. But it's like they got Adobe Premiere, and they bought the, like, strip show transition. It's like every scene just transitions into a strip show.
I have Adobe Premiere, yeah. And I don't have the strip show plugin where I can just put in a strip show scene.
Maybe you got to buy that one.
I guess.
You'll get a lot more YouTube hits.
That's true. That's true.
But no, I think overall it was lacking something. There were some little bits that were fun. I liked kind of some of the concept of the story. It was a really interesting choice as choosing Phoenix as a setting. But overall, at this point, not too excited about this film.
Todd?
I'm gonna turn the corner here. It's just flip the coin. This was another spectacular movie for me. Two weeks in a row.
Out of the fucking park.
Out of the park. I really like this movie.
Were you watching the same screen?
Oh my god, Todd! Listen to this.
I like this movie. I like sci-fi. I think this was a good sci-fi premise. Obviously, yeah, the constant boobs were annoying because it was constant.
Annoying.
I know Chris likes boobs, but it was constant boobs. But if you could look past that, the story was. The premise was awesome. The setup was awesome. The story was cool. It had I know so many people have so many different definitions of campy, but I think this was campy. It had a lot of campy bits. It just had a lot of good things for me. It had a lot of action, man, and cheesy dialogue. I really like this one.
So Rebecca, not a fan.
Yeah, not a big fan. I think my favorite part of all the campy aspects where it's the dialogue, which Todd talked on. There was a lot of pretty good lines in it. But other than that, I was really just kind of bored and not too pumped about it at all.
I was on the edge of my seat. You know, she was able to have the rest of the seat because I was only on the edge.
So considerate of you,
because
you
were trying to look at all the boobs.
I don't know what's going on here, you guys. How we are so split. This movie was fantastic. I'm with Todd. What's not to love here? It was tongue-in-cheek, like Deathstalker. Not quite to the same kind of parody, satire level of Deathstalker, but it was a very fun, funny movie. Nothing was taken too seriously. I know there's a lot of nudity in it, but a lot of times it was done up for comedy's sake as well. They put those pleasure bots in, seducing Matthias Hughes, and he's like, he needs to get them to escape into his craft, and he's like, I get sexual pleasures by having women follow me single file down the hallway. Come on!
I wrote that down.
Great.
Okay,
that
was
great.
Pretty good. That was pretty good.
You know how this is gonna go. Everyone hates the movie, Chris, but they're gonna love it while we talk about it.
Yeah, I love everything. Look, I was surprised as well that it was on, and at least for the first half an hour, it was breast on breast on breast action everywhere you go. But it kind of calmed down for the second act of the movie. You got a little more here and there, but for the most part,
I think that
turned
fair.
Into a fun little sci-fi romp.
I watched the first hour or so of it yesterday, and then it went into its 18th transition of going into a strip club, and I was like, all right, I'm done for tonight. I'm just tired of this.
Yeah,
because it was interruptive. It wasn't like a 3-second thing. They'd be there for 5 minutes.
It's a victim of having no budget.
Yeah,
and
that's
no
probably
sets.
It.
Like it has a lot of world building in this movie, but a lot of it is just in dialogue. They can't show a lot of this world they've established.
I made a mental note of world building. This one has even more than last week's movie, which we also liked. They flashed it up there super freaking quick. That beginning scroll was fast, but there's a considerable amount of world building that went into this premise, I think. We actually didn't talk about...
You should say what the premise
we didn't
is.
Do the plot synopsis.
What is the premise
Todd,
of this
Todd,
movie?
Who's running this ship, Chris?
Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, one too many G&Ts over there, and Chris can't run a show anymore.
We got distracted with William Wallace's ass or something. I forget what we were talking about. Todd, what is this movie even about?
You.
All right, so... I'm not gonna cover the whole plot. I'm trying to figure out how to do it without covering the whole plot. I'm not gonna sit here and go plot point by plot point. But the reason this movie has a lot of boobs in it is because it's sort of the whole premise centers around pleasure bots. There's four pleasure bots, and there's for lack of a better description, three main locations. There's a mining colony on Jupiter. There's a hydro farm underneath the water in New LA, which is right near Old LA, Los Angeles.
Las Vegas.
Yeah, Las Vegas. And there's and Phoenix, Arizona. The whole movie centers around getting one party getting these droids from the mining colony to New LA, and the droid gunner, who's like a bounty hunter, trying to get them back to the owner. That's it's a, I don't know, what do you call that type of movie? Like
it's
a track down run amok that turns into like a buddy cop movie, kind of. It's it's pretty neat.
I don't think
neat.
That's an actual genre, but we'll go with it.
You know, one of those.
It's pretty neat. Well,
it's his name is Jack Ford. He is the droid runner. He's basically Decker from, this is just Blade Runner. Like he's tracking down lost androids in a futuristic city.
It's Blade Runner if the androids he was tracking down were pleasure bots.
Yeah. Well, one of them was in Blade Runner.
Yeah, but I think that the premise of the androids are very different in this than they are in Blade Runner.
Well, I mean, Blade Runner is a fucking serious movie. This is hot garbage. Like, what do you say here, Eric?
Well, I know it's hot garbage. I already told you that at the beginning of this thing.
The very clearly, this was inspired by Blade Runner, right? It is the shitty take on something like that.
They need
Fred Olin Ray likes to put boobs in movies, okay? And the way to do that is to make them all pleasure droids.
They do mention, however, that on the quote-unquote surface, they're leery of androids, though, because they think if they let them free, androids are going to take over. Like, they're going to learn too much, and they're going to take over.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't have that aspect of Blade Runner where they, like, expire after so many years or whatever.
Right, none of that.
But it does have a lot of the detective aspect of him trying to hunt down these androids, right?
Yeah,
I didn't really understand why everybody is against the droid gunners. Was that made known?
Didn't get
like
that.
Anywhere he goes, he's like, "Oh, I could smell
droid oil."
I
think it's kind of given away towards the end when we meet up with the final baddie, and he discloses his whole plot of why there are pleasure bots. Do you remember that part? Do we really want to spoil that at this point?
Wow, are you talking about like...
Hold off a few.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
But as we learn some information there, I think that's why the people don't like him. Mm. Because the pleasure bots serve a very important purpose in this world.
Maybe it's just me. We were very impressed by Deathstalker 2. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was.
Is it the fact that maybe we've set our bar too high for sci-fi movies?
No,
like I'm confused by the hate.
I don't think anybody said they hated it. I just think I was disappointed because there were definitely hints of, I'm not going to say brilliance again, but I'm going to say there were definitely good parts. Like the buddy cop parts were good. I liked our Decker character in this movie. I thought the actor did a good job with what he had, and I even didn't mind his sidekick either so much. But I don't know. It just felt like I was missing something, and then the abundance of these strip club scenes that just don't really do anything to further the movie bothered me.
I wouldn't say they don't do anything to further the movie. They just use it as a setting where some exposition gets dumped occasionally and they have characters meet up there. It is a weird setting. It is a 90s ass movie. It feels sleazy like a lot of 90s movies. Mm-hmm.
The music did not help with that.
Why are people meeting in a strip club? I've never met in a strip club. Like, have
it's
you
like the
on?
Only place that they hang out in this world.
Again, I think it's related to the end of the movie. And I don't want to spoil that at this point.
God damn it. You're ruining the whole show by not spoiling anything. Let's talk about some of the world building and the tech they use in this movie.
I was going to say, that's a good place to start. There's the surface. When they talk about the surface, a lot of times they're talking about Phoenix, Arizona. There was an earthquake in 2077, an 8.7 magnitude earthquake, and it finally like broke off California into the ocean. So when they talk
and Nevada too, right?
Washington, California,
Washington,
and Oregon.
Yeah.
And when they talk about New LA, it's at the same spot as old LA. It's just under the water now, and it's currently it is a hydro farm that is run by this super conservative
religious.
Yeah, it's not just one guy. I mean, I got the feeling it is one guy, but I got the feeling
it was cult-like.
Yeah, I got the feeling that it was a bit cult-like. Like it was run by an organization that was super conservative and a little bit cult-like. And then
it's essentially
it's
what
like a compound.
Yeah, it's going to be what Tom Cruise is. It? What's Tom Cruise?
Scientology.
Scientologist. This is yeah. what is Scientology in the future, right?
We just got added to a list by saying that.
I don't know. It's I don't. Maybe it's my bias setting in, but or showing through. But to me, the religion in this movie is used as a construct to control people.
Isn't that what religion is generally used for?
Again,
shit.
That may be my
it's
bias.
Getting real up in here, guys. Strap it.
Strap it.
Oh my god.
Strap it. The only other location they talk about really is the mining colony on Jupiter. And they only talk about that because that's where the Pleasure George came from originally.
Well, but they also have that. Isn't the wealthy people, they live in the clouds though, right?
Like yeah, they don't go down to the surface.
Oh, that's true. I don't know where they live exactly, but they do mention about up there. They just constantly mention up there, and then they talk about going down on the surface and how polluted it is.
And that is confusing in this movie because they don't ever have any establishing shots of them traveling to any of these places. A little bit to the underwater city in like a few frames of this submarine, which looked pretty cool, but you never see anybody traveling to the sky fancy city. You just can see like this interesting looking building, and it's a little jarring to know where you're at.
I think the description in the beginning just said that like basically the rich people live in like skyscrapers / you know, domed cities, and everybody else lives on the surface. So I don't think they're really, there's not maybe like a separation, like they're in the clouds or anything. Like it's not like a floating city. I thought they said that. And I think that's why we never really got any cool shots like that. Now, I don't know what it's like to be a doorman at one of these places. Like, how do you defend it? I don't know. But that's, if you watch the beginning crawl, I think that's what it says.
I mean, I like that setup, though. How everything is so segregated. And I don't know if they're trying to say anything about like a class system or anything like that in this movie. But it has those aspects, right? Where... Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the poor are all subjugated to the shit.
Yeah, I would say they're definitely trying to make a commentary on that because they talk about pollution. They talk about like poorer breathing conditions, poorer living conditions. Right. They're eating rats.
You get like people who are from a richer society come down and they're like disgusted by how everybody has to live and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, a lot of them don't even come down.
Yeah.
Smells like droid oil all the time. There is some cool technology on display in this movie. I mean, I guess they use cool pretty loosely because a lot of it is like ridiculously outdated even by today's standards. Like,
but then they have androids.
Sex robots. Yeah, sex robots. That's hardcore. Like, literally. But then then you have the tricorders, which Matthias Hughes uses at one point in this movie to call somebody. So it's like this Star Trek looking tricorder with like a video kind of chat.
He calls Predator. He calls Predator.
Yeah, he calls the Predator. I don't know why he calls. And while he's talking to the Predator, he keeps pressing buttons, and it just sounds like a normal phone. Mm-hmm. It's like boop, deem, boom, 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 boom.
We also had Dr. Hughes like sonic screwdriver in effect.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Sweet.
Not sure what exactly that did, besides making like a horrible drill sounding noise.
It sounded like a dentist.
Took us
drill.
Back to the dentist.
Yeah, yes.
I'm pretty sure she drilled into the back of his head when.
Did she? It looked like she was just holding it up to his ear at one point.
Yeah, I thought it was doing like some sort of radio type signal to his brain, his robotic brain.
Because it was supposed to disable them, not kill them, right? Because she's like, I can just turn them off.
She could open up the access panel in the back and connect into him.
I don't even know how she knew to do that. It didn't say data IO on it. Like, how did she know?
You heard
it,
dude. You heard it from Rebecca.
The technical term is jacking in. Okay.
Oh, God.
You have to jack in. And then when you're done, you gotta jack off.
Wouldn't the opposite of in be out? You gotta jack out?
No, you ruined my joke. Ruined it. But
so
they also have...
You jack on and then you jack off?
They have the door hand scanners, which are cool.
Oh yeah, I forgot about those.
That, like in a futuristic building that's high security, you have to scan your door. That's pretty cool.
It's a door hand scanner, but then when you're allowed access, it's like one tiny little green LED. that says you're allowed
to mind the door.
Yeah.
Mind the door.
I would imagine like an LCD screen or something, but no, it's a full on hand scanner and then
it's
a red
ultra
and a green
low
LED.
Power Bluetooth door. It's
right?
Door yeah. lock, yeah.
And then when you enter this high security building and you meet the guy, he has a desk. It's a very nice desk. And on it is a Rolodex.
Future Rolodex. It's futuristic.
While he has a telephone sitting there while he's smoking cigarettes.
Well, they can afford to do that in that building because they have good, clean air.
They have it filtered. It doesn't matter.
They make the air extra clean so they can make their own smoke. I don't go down to the surface to get polluted. I buy my pollution.
Well, I think we should talk about the main characters. I think we should maybe delve into them slightly more, right?
You know what, Aaron? Let's dive into the main character.
All right.
Can anyone here think of a better name for a droid gunning son of a bitch that's going to take over all these than Jack Ford? That sounds like a bounty hunter name for me.
Yeah, definitely fit.
He was wearing a duster.
True.
I liked him. I liked him in this movie. I thought he had the look. He had the attitude. I liked him. He's played by Mark Singer, who you would know from the Beastmaster movies. And
he basically looks like Kevin Bacon and William Fichtner.
Bacon. Yes.
They had a baby.
Conceived
a baby.
It was the bacon.
Yeah.
He did kind of look like Kevin Bacon now that you say that.
Yep. So, yeah, I think he was a good fit for the role. He played it really well. I don't know. It kind of reminded me of Bill Paxton in a way, too. Just, I don't know. Not from a looks perspective, but from
like
the way
the
he played the role.
The dryness to his humor.
The dryness to his humor, yes. I think that's where we're seeing that.
The humidity level of his humor reminded me of
the
Bill.
Barometric pressure of his humor.
It was a dusty humor waste.
It was like, oh, yes.
Yeah, I think my problem with this movie is that it never feels like it has any sort of momentum or anything building. Like, I understood what was going along, but there's never any tension to anything. It was just kind of like, well, where are we doing now? Let's go to the strip club. Let's go to the... Like, it just felt like it meandered the entire time.
For me, the tension, though, like, I was convinced... I didn't know how it was going to wrap up. There were so many parties in this in the beginning, and I didn't know how it was going to wrap up. For me, the tension was the upcoming Jack Ford and Matthias Hughes fight that I was sure was going to arrive. It didn't. They ended up like teaming up to take on the cult leader guy, but like that was where it was for me. It was more like trying to figure it out.
That's because I think it's supposed to be meant to be like a detective kind of story, noir-esque, where you're like, not quite sure where it's going to go, but there's not much driving that. You don't have a set antagonist, and the whole time you're thinking it's going to be Matthias Hughes because he's usually a bad guy in movies. He's muscled up. He's doing something that he shouldn't be doing in this movie. But then that comes to not be the case, and the antagonist is revealed like the last 15 minutes of the movie as someone who you don't really care about or anything.
See, I actually didn't think he was going to be the bad guy in this. He seemed just like he just seemed like a smuggler kind of guy. He didn't really seem like the overarching like criminal mastermind that
I thought they were going for him as he usually is the bad guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I just didn't think in this movie he felt like that kind of character. I didn't realize they were going to team up and be buddy-buddy, but I really didn't think he was going to be the mastermind or anything like that.
I think because there were so many bad guys already, like I felt like that role was already taken by multiple people.
But everyone was a bad guy.
Yeah.
So it was like, who's the baddest guy? Like, what? Everybody's a bad guy. So everybody was seedy and dirty and grimy. You know what I mean? So like, but I didn't feel any sort of tension between any, like he just interacted with all these people, but there was no conflict.
Yeah. I agree with you. That's what I'm trying to get at a little bit though. I think you're looking for tension where they didn't intend for there to be tension. for me, it was all like an intrigue movie, not necessarily a tension movie, but just straight up, like not even good at just good and bad. For a while there were at least like three parties trying to figure out how all this weaves together. Like the, yeah. There was the man in the clouds who owned the droids on the mining colony in Jupiter. There was the whatever that like purple waistcoat guy, like gang leader inside with all the henchmen sitting on the throne. That guy apparently hired Matthias Hughes, but he's got to deal with the bounty hunter. There's the bounty hunter. There's the dude under the water. There was a lot of moving parts going on there in the beginning, and that was, or in the middle even, and that's what kept it going for me, was trying to sort all that out.
But I think that I got frustrated by that because it wasn't being resolved. There wasn't really anything added to it. It wasn't like they're pulling this all together as one overarching story or anything. It was just all these sort of disjointed things going on. And then it's like, well, what do you want to do next? I don't know. Let's go to the strip club.
Yeah, nobody
instead
was...
of going like, oh, we need to figure this out, or...
Well, no,
it's like busy work.
Furthermore, nobody was making a play. Like, no, nobody's ambitions changed halfway through. It really was just the plan that the religious man had from the beginning taking place, and then all of a sudden, you know, Jack Ford figuring out that he's going to save him.
But this is the line that he kind of comes to what he thinks is happening. He says this line: what if someone is smuggling these droids? They want to come to New Angeles to make way for organized crime. What the fuck does that mean? Why would that mean? Wait, what?
Because we find that in the future, New Angeles is basically perfect, as in there's no sin, everybody gets along, things are happy, shiny, and great.
That's like,
but that becomes
a problem.
Doesn't
make any sense, though. But four pleasure droids are gonna bring that all down. It's gonna make way for organized crime. Explain that.
Well, I think he was trying to say that they witnessed that happen on the surface. So they're like, but more people just know that prostitution in a place that is so straight and narrow is gonna provide like a back alley for a lot of money, is what I'm trying to say. Like, there's a very high demand and a very limited supply, and one person owns the asset. So it's,
yeah, that makes more sense.
Like that, I just think more people know that in this world than should normally know that, because they've seen it happen. You know what I mean?
We should talk about the other main character in this movie, the droid. I guess she's an expert.
Technologist.
Beth.
So she is part of this corporation that hires Jack Ford to track down these missing androids. She's gonna accompany him. She doesn't understand what life is like back on the real world where all the poor people live. So
again, it's well written, by the way, because that's an easy thing to think up, but I mean, they play it well. Like, oh, who should we pair with the guy from the surface who's going to be the bounty hunter, and we'll pair the exact opposite person. Like, they thought that up well.
And I liked their interactions. I thought they had good chemistry. They had some good humor. They played off of each other. The situations they threw her in were kind of ironic in ways. And she, like, I just liked everything about it. They kept playing on the aspect of how she's kind of like a fish out of water.
I thought she was really put into some dangerous situations considering her job. Like, she's not a bounty hunter, law enforcement, anything. And she's, like, infiltrating these
brothels and stuff?
Yeah, and...
I agree, but at the same time, I was happy that she wasn't some, like, weak damsel in distress the whole time. Like, yeah, she could protect herself. She could adapt to all these weird situations she was being put into, so...
She took
virtual kung fu training.
She took virtual judo on the simulator.
Whoa, I know kung fu.
That scene where they go to that brothel and he goes to try and track down this missing android in there, and he walks in on those people having sex.
That was awesome. Like,
you guys keep going. I'm just scanning to see if one of you is an Android.
That was
just
finally going. That was finally the woman whose picture was in his pocket. Yeah. He was showing that picture around for the whole beginning of the movie, and he walks in randomly and he finds her.
Your husband's trying to track you down.
It's good. That's what I'm talking about. That was the kind of humor in this movie. It was funny because it didn't take away from the scene or anything like that, but it just added to it with its tongue-in-cheekness, I guess. I don't know. You didn't like that?
I did. I thought that was great.
Why? Why are you such a hater,
Aaron? I'm not a hater. I didn't say I hated this. I did not say hate. I just said I'm disappointed that
there was more potential here. Hater back.
So there's a scene not too long after the brothel. They go back to the strip club for whatever reason.
Exactly. There you go. That's why this movie sucks.
Okay. See, this is his biggest problem. The strip club happens to also be the bar, and the bar is the tavern, is clearly the only tavern left in Phoenix. So that's where the bounty hunter has to go to get all his beats, man.
He goes there for information, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean by beats.
I'm not down on that. I need to get woke up in here because I didn't know what that meant. The repetitive of the setting did get old. Like, they kept repeating sets and stuff like that. But that's what you got to do when you don't have any fucking money, Aaron. You got to make that shit work. They went to an underwater futuristic city, and for some reason, it looked like the factory's basement or something, like a basement of a factory.
Yeah, but that
reason.
Was okay. They should have used it more.
Did you see the variety of hallways that. In that place? There were so many hallways. Some hallways had pipes. Some had metal grates. So many hallways.
Some had grates and pipes.
The settings were crap, but we had a spaceship. We had an underwater city. We have all these potential cool settings, but really we only spend time in a strip club with some person that looks like Spock's like daughter or something weird. And it's just,
oh, the cat stripper lady.
Yeah,
the mutant.
She was a mutant.
The mutant, aka
dare you judge mutants.
The Vulcan,
dare you, sir.
Stripper.
She was like a cat lady. I was into it. I don't care what you say.
Okay,
into that shit.
Did they explain why there were mutants?
Yeah, there was an earthquake. And then
the radiation.
And then everybody was a mutant, and the West fell into the ocean. What's the big deal?
I like the barkeeper who was a pirate for some reason. That guy was awesome.
My favorite line of the whole movie was when Jack was leaving, and like he was looking for that woman, and the bartender says, "I'll keep my eye out for you." And he has one eye, and that is just fantastic.
Look, we are missing out on one particular character in this movie. It's a short-lived character, but it's a rather important one. We have Arnold Schwarzenegger's brother, Reginald Schwarzenegger, also known as Reggie.
The robot guy?
The robot guy?
That was a very short-lived.
He sounded very much like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He even looked a lot like him, too.
He wasn't as muscular.
Okay, whatever.
Sorry to rain on your parade.
You're my boy, Reggie.
Cool. That was like one of the things that was missing from this movie. They had a little scene at the beginning with a robot, and he shoots it in the face. And you see the wires and circuitry, seeing it. That was awesome.
This is my second reason for disappointing. There are tough or bad androids in this movie, but the ones we see and deal with are almost all just pleasure bots.
Yeah.
So you say it's part of the plot line that they're worried that the androids will take over, but we really only have two instances where they're of any threat or any danger at all. In the very beginning, and then with Reggie in the bar scene later.
Yeah, I could have used an ultimate showdown with a big, robot, android.
Like, the androids are working for the bad guy. There's a little more, like, there could have been a lot more to it. But none of that ever really happens.
Yeah, I'll grant you that. The ending and stuff was a little bit disappointing.
I think the ending was just different. It was less of the 1v1 final boss fight we were thinking about, and more of the car chase at the end of Blues Brothers. Like, they just threw a ton of waste away little hup 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 hup, and like they weren't even standing in cover during that gunfight, and like everyone was just dropping like a pile of rocks.
Yeah, it was fun.
Did anybody
it
else
didn't wrap the story up nicely though?
Did anybody else find the like the minions to be very much like Spaceballs, kind of like guards? Like they were complete
the
doofuses.
Guys with the blazers on that, like,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, I liked that part of it, actually. I thought it was kind of funny, but it didn't really fit that well in with, I think, the rest of the movie.
Yeah, uh-oh. I thought it was. I thought that was for sure, like, tongue-in-cheek as well, was all the expendable, the amount of expendable people that they threw at him in times of alarm.
There's a few things I want to talk about before we get to the end of the movie, though. One, I saw this sex scene coming from a mile away. You could smell the droid oil. I don't know where I'm going with that, but whatever. So they leave the bar, and there is a helicopter shooting at them, right?
Oh, man.
He shoots his pistol ever. At the helicopter, and it blows up, and it rivals the explosion in that movie Virtual Combat, in which you shoot a helicopter with a pistol, it blows up, and it immediately evaporates. Is that
just
the technical
gone.
Term?
Yeah. Disintegrates,
evaporates.
Yeah, what you do is you have a frame with a helicopter in it, and then your next frame, there's no helicopter, there's just explosion in its place. I mean, there's no transition there. It's just like that somebody hand drew an explosion on top.
It would have made sense if they would have used like futuristic guns, but they don't. They use guns from like
it's like a revolver.
A revolver, yeah. And it's supposed to be 100 years from now into the future. It's like a little lame, right?
He's on the. I think that makes the most. Sense he's on the surface he's one of the poorer people and
so they're just
it kind of fits into Todd's noir feel too that you were talking about.
Yeah, you're right.
Like that's he has the weapon that works on anybody. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're Android, it doesn't matter what you
gotcha.
Are that's
that makes
and
sense.
Not for nothing that's like the exact weapon.
But I wish that would have been like a plot point then, because that would have added to his character if like he would have been like handed a gun by that guy who hires him. He's like, use this.
Yeah.
And he would have been like, now I got my own.
Yeah.
And then the guy would be like, well, that's a classic or you know, need something.
That's
like
what
that.
I was going to say. The one
call that a gun?
The one
this
that,
is a gun.
The one that he has is like a typical hand cannon. Like if you're going to take down a machine, that's what you would carry.
So from this explosion of this helicopter, they go back to his apartment because he's been shot in the chest. He digs out the bullet with pliers, and then when he wakes up, he is ready for
ready
some
to go.
Extreme sex, love, action. And it's a scene that takes place in front of a huge window, which, who does that? Why
I mean,
would you do that? I guess if you're really confident in your body and stuff, I'm not, so I would never do that. That's awkward.
I just do in the closet. I just go in the closet where and turn all the lights off.
So the scene is mostly like there's a lot of face kissing going on for like a minute, and I'm like, who's into face kissing?
What kind of kissing?
What kind of audience
are
we
preferring
here,
Chris? There's only so much they can show in this movie. you
no,
want
I didn't
to
mean
like
I don't want like penetration. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say I didn't want it, but I wasn't expecting it. I'm just saying they focused a lot on the face action, and then he pulls down her shirt and he looks at her breasts, and he's like, I'm sorry, I can't do this.
I'm out.
He's like, we're done here. What was that about? I understand he had this whole old clock with a picture of, I guess, his ex-wife in there, or his former lover.
It's called a watch, Chris.
Well, isn't that what I call
a
it?
A mini
pocket
clock.
Clock?
A mini pocket clock.
Excuse me, sir. Can I see your pocket clock?
Got a pocket clock on a change.
But what happened there? What transpired?
He was feeling guilty.
Why?
Because he still loves the person in the pocket clock.
His heart will always belong to the pocket clock.
Let's be fair here. He was just shot, so maybe he just didn't have the, you know, the libido to, you know, and he just said, you know what, I'd
this
love to, but my pocket clock here thing is making me.
Maybe he literally meant I can't do this. Like,
yeah, because
he
lost
that
too
bullet
much blood.
Just went through my lung. I can't breathe right now.
Oh, and it's also weird that the thing that like is the catalyst for the sex scene is she looks at the clock, the pocket clock, and sees the picture and says something to him. He's like, do you still love her or something? He's like, I think about her every day. And then they're like, let's get to it. Like, he's been shot. We're talking about my ex-lover.
Actually, I get that one.
That is the perfect
time.
She's
trying to help him through it. Which brings me to my next point. Is she really a sex bot?
You think she's a sex bot?
Maybe.
Is this like the end of Blade Runner?
This is like the version 3.7.
I seriously thought that's where they were going to go with it, by the way.
I thought so, too.
I would have loved it.
Especially when they were missing that one that had been on the, like, coming from Jupiter with Matthias.
Yeah, but they showed that one.
That is the best ending to this movie possible, too. It's just, what the hell? I could have rolled that during the credits or something. It would have been great. Like, you're watching the credits and that scene came in. But, like, after all this, that's how they ended it?
It was funny.
It was. It was funny.
And good for that homeless guy.
Homeless guy. What?
Yeah. So, I mean, the climax of the movie involves this guy who runs the underwater New LA city saying that he is the one who wants to bring these sex bots there because currently they have no sin, no sinners in this city. And since then, productivity has decreased. Church attendance has dropped off. So he needs to import sin.
Yep. That's right.
Which, if you are morally a super religious person who wants to create a sin-free city, and you've done that.
Okay.
Is it that he desires the need to be needed? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I think he desires the need to control people.
Like, without sin, people have no reason to atone for their sins.
So he's no longer needed.
Yeah, yeah.
And therefore he has no influence.
How did he have influence? How did he have this much influence to begin with, though?
Well, he has to have money.
I don't know.
Money, power, okay.
The whole freaking west coast of the nation sloughed off into the ocean, so people are probably looking for some sort of savior to take care of them.
Okay. I mean, I don't have anything else to say about that. That's a really stupid explanation for everything as far as I'm concerned.
Yep, agreed. Which is, I think, why they didn't really make his character more important or bigger part of the movie. They didn't have enough story there, enough reason to have him.
The cause and effect makes sense to me, but I don't...
Yes.
If you're saying...
Yeah,
the cause and effect makes sense. The fact that he's bringing in the pleasure droids because, like, church attendance fell off and productivity fell, and he wants more money from illicit activity, like black market activities. That cause and effect makes sense to me. But if you're suggesting, or if you're asking how he ever got that influence to begin with, that's a fair question. I don't know why.
Yeah, we don't. There's plot holes. Certainly, yeah. Plot holes. I mean, just for me, that like whole explanation that's supposed to wrap up all of these different characters they introduce and how this plot line zigs and zags all over the place with this convoluted kind of like things going on with these pleasure bots and the backstabbing and all that kind of crap. And this is the thing that's supposed to wrap it all up. Was a little bit disappointing.
Yeah. I didn't come here for crisp plot lines though. I came here for gunfights and androids and, you know,
yeah,
and questionable dialogue and,
oh, there were some good questionable dialogues.
Yeah.
Dialogue scenes. The tracer is hidden, and it's very uncomfortable. Where exactly were you hiding that thing? And also, do you have advanced oral functions? Oh, man, it's
yeah, don't,
so great.
Don't worry. They said that, like, about 16 times during that scene, too. Because every time I'm like, is that what they said? Did they really say that? No, they said it again and again and again and again.
I love when Matthias and our other guy are tying up these sex robots, and the one's like, I am programmed to excel in bondage as well as group sex. It's like, Jesus Christ, this movie is just, yeah.
Good for you.
good. That's great. That's great.
It was good, wasn't it? Yeah, I mean, that's about it. I don't have anything else to say about this movie. You guys got anything?
No, except for I found the name of that assassin droid, by the way, and his name was Derek von Nederveen. So he was, Jesus Christ. Super
Diedrich von Nederveen.
He was awesome. Super Dutch.
That's who I'm dressing up as for Halloween.
I am the native Aiden.
All right. Does anyone have any alternate titles?
A few, but they're not very good. This is a tough one to make alternate titles for.
All right, let's hear it.
Now you go first.
Oh, I didn't make up any because I don't remember ever. I was trying to think of something to play off the Bear Wench Project or whatever that one was last week, but I couldn't come up with anything.
I don't have a movie title, but I think one of our next commercials should be for lubricant for cyber sex called Droid Oil. I think that's fucking clever.
That's pretty good. There you go, Aaron. Start working on that.
That's all you, Todd. You got to make that one. Okay. So I had oral fixation because oral is mentioned like 472 times in this movie. It's the play on a terrible song. All Spocket wants to do is dance. Phoenix Rising, because for fuck's sake, Phoenix, Arizona is our primary city in this. And then Fun Nuns from Outer Space.
Fun Nuns from
Outer Space. They were dressed up as nuns, that was pretty good.
That was pretty good. I bet. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Rebecca, do you have any?
I did not.
Man, we suck. I
gotta
remember.
Just kill this off.
Nah, sometimes it's good, and I never remember. That's the problem.
I feel like there's something there with habits. That's what I was trying to get. Like, I don't know.
What, like a nun's habit?
Yeah. Play on word, okay. Like bad habits or something like. But make it about droids and stuff too. I don't. That's the end of my story.
Okay, cool. Let's play a game.
Game time, baby.
Your theories are the worst kind of puppet, right? Your methods are sloppy and your conclusions are highly fuzzy.
Shall we play?
All right. This game is called Phoenix Facts. Both of them with a PH. Because Phoenix is a city that, I don't know, I never really think about. So I decided to find some stuff out about it. All right, what number city is Phoenix in the U.S. according to population? Is it the 6th largest, the 11th, or the 23rd?
I'm going to say 11th because I think it's growing rapidly.
I'd say 11th as well.
I'll go 23rd then.
It is the 6th largest.
What?
Holy
crap.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're... You go to Phoenix, Arizona when you're on your way to Tacoma. You know, Philadelphia.
Atlanta,
LA. Okay, Steve Miller.
Is that new LA?
Yeah, I was surprised that it is ranked that high in population. It's one of the fastest growing cities in the U.S.
So it's like New York, LA. Hotlanta.
Atlanta, LA.
You think Philly?
Northern California, where the girls are.
What's Philly?
I don't know. I was just trying to think of like five.
Philly's up there.
Five cities that are bigger and.
Miami?
Chicago, probably.
Philly is number five. Right above Phoenix, just barely above
Phoenix.
Man,
Phoenix still surprises me at 6, though. I feel like I could come up with 10 cities that I would think are. Bigger than
you got
Phoenix.
New York, LA, Chicago, Houston, Philly.
Houston.
Is Phoenix
Houston,
spread out?
We got
a
fucking problem, I think.
Like Phoenix, the density is probably not nearly as high as like a New York or Philly or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very large.
Yeah, it's much more
area.
Spread out.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, number two. Phoenix is located in the Sonoran Desert. What is that desert's claim to fame? Is it A, the desert with the highest elevation, B, the wettest desert, or C, the smallest desert?
I'm going to say it is the smallest desert.
It's so wet.
Yeah, I'm going to say wettest desert. That just seems really counterintuitive, but okay.
Chris, you said wet as well.
My deserts. Yeah.
It is the wettest and also the greenest desert, which if it's wet and green, I don't know how it qualifies as a desert.
Yeah, yeah. Way to go, scientists. Whoever Bob Sonora is just wanted his desert
named
after.
Not a desert anymore.
He's also the same one that said the male seahorse has the babies. He just doesn't like to be wrong.
Bob, I think that one's having the babies there. No, that one's the male.
The male has the babies. number three, how long could you face as far as prison time goes if you cut down a saguaro cactus? Would it be A, 1 year, B, 10 years, or C, 25 years?
Man, I feel like I'm not about cutting down trees, but I feel like if it's more than a year, that's aggressive. I'm going to say a year.
I'm going to go 10.
Chris, what did you say?
I said 10, but Aaron rudely interrupted me.
Well, Aaron is first. Or Aaron is second before you.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was
I've
Todd,
let it
Chris,
slide
Aaron.
This entire
I'm
time,
so
my
sorry.
Friend.
I'm so sorry.
But
you could actually face 25 years in prison if you cut one down without permission.
Why?
Because they're protected. They take, like, 100 years to mature or something. So if you have one on your property that you want taken down, you have to contact the state department that's in charge of that and get all these permits completed to be able to take it down. Otherwise, it is a felony.
So don't buy a house that has one of these in its yard.
Number four, which of these military groups did Phoenix once possess? Was it A, an army, B, a navy, or C, a cavalry?
I'll say cavalry.
Agreed, cavalry.
I guess I'll go navy, because it's so wet there. And that
that'd be hilarious.
It is a navy.
What?
I was kidding.
Oh, it had two ships, even though the closest lake was 25 miles away.
And who needs a navy for a lake?
And it was created to defend Arizona against California.
So if California decided to ship some boats,
they were going to be ready for
lake,
them.
Hey, you guys, you guys want to drive your boats down to our lake and have a naval battle?
It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
Decide the fate of this whole war on this lake right here.
Two completely land-filled countries. We're just going to
Jim's making some hot dogs on the grill over there while we have our naval battle. You guys in?
What is the time frame for this navy? Do you know when it was? Like, are we talking like 1800s?
It would have been like 1800s, like when they were still becoming states.
Yeah.
That time period. Okay.
That's awesome.
Number five, which of these charitable organizations was founded in Phoenix? Is it A, Make-A-Wish, B, United Way, or C, the Rotary?
Make-A-Wish.
I guess I'll go United Way.
The Rotary.
It is Make-A-Wish. Number six, what's the highest temperature recorded in Phoenix? Is it A, 116 degrees, B, 122 degrees, or C, 128 degrees?
It's going to be like, it's going to be like Rob Thomas up in here. It's going to be hot. I'm going to say 122.
I am not getting that joke.
7 inches from the midday sun.
Yeah. Santana. Rob Thomas from Matchbox.
That was a deep cut.
Deep cut. That's not that deep. That's not that deep.
Temperature. All right, I'm going to go.
What the song's all about.
122
from the midday sun.
How are you 7 inches from the sun?
I don't know what
the joke is over.
You're smooth because you've been melted into just a.
You're just a gelatinous blob.
Gelatinous blob of atoms.
Todd, they don't.
They just don't understand Rob Thomas like we do, Chris.
some people just can't understand, wrap their minds around that, Thomas. I'll tell you that right
now. I'm going to say 122.
Let's just forget about it.
I'm going to say 122 degrees because that's yeah, how I hot I think it is 7 inches from the midday sun.
I don't remember any of the options.
116,
the
122, yep, 116. Or 128.
116.
It is 122 degrees. That was on June 26th, 1990, and the airport actually grounded flights because they were unsure of how the planes would react to the heat. The mechanics couldn't be sure that they would actually fly.
That's a little unnerving. That we're flying in big metal birds that are that close to the edge. It's like 98 degrees on a hot day.
The air density for the engines? Yeah. No, I wouldn't want to fly in that. You're making like half the power you are at normal temperatures.
So if it's like Nick Lachey out there today, my airplane can fly, but if it's like Rob Thomas, we're grounded.
I like this temperature scale. I don't understand any of it.
I've ever said to you, Todd, that was the worst. How dare you bring Nick Lachey into this?
Last one. East to West streets downtown are named after what? Is it A, Native American tribes, B, presidents, or C, desert animals?
D, mid-90s rock groups. I'm going to say presidents.
I'll go animals. Just seems weird. But
Native Americans.
It is presidents. And then all the north-south are like 1st Street, 4th Street. So it's like 4th and Bush.
I don't even know. Okay.
Todd comes back at the end to win that game. So, as a bonus, Todd, can you name all 4 professional sports teams from Phoenix?
Ooh, it's getting hot in here. Maybe you should turn down the heat.
Football, Phoenix Cardinals. Basketball, Phoenix Suns. Baseball. Hockey.
Nobody cares about baseball.
Is there a hockey team from Phoenix?
Uh-huh.
Phoenix. That's disappointing. I feel like I should know the hockey team from Phoenix. Baseball one doesn't hurt me too much, though. Phoenix Sandcastles. I don't know. What is it?
Both of them are desert animals.
Phoenix Lizards. The Phoenix Snakes.
And it's actually Arizona.
Oh, Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah?
Oh, that's bullshit. They're not from Phoenix. They're from Arizona.
They're still in Phoenix. The last one is the...
Wait, we got to talk more about how Arizona is in Phoenix. The Phoenix Coyotes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Phoenix is one of only 13 cities to have all 4 of the top sports.
Well, makes sense. The 6th largest city in the nation.
Yep.
They had to get greedy and have a hockey team in the desert.
All right. Cool. Thank you, Rebecca.
Yep.
The ninja, born of a 400-year-old tradition, trained in the most exquisite subtleties of combat and of food.
Welcome to the Culinary Dojo in Flavortown.
Join Guy Fieri in an epic battle against the culinary gangsters.
This has got marinade, this has got rub, this has got sauce, and the red beans and rice. Get out.
Ninja of
Flavortown. Oh, that's got great barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Depth of flavor. I mean, the chicken's falling off the bone. It's tender. This has got marinade, this has got rub, this has got sauce.
All right, Todd, would you recommend CyberZone?
Absolutely. Easy yes for me. My favorite part, though, was, since it's an easy yes for me, my favorite part was the cheesy dialogue, because it was, like, poorly delivered, but also kind of...
Masterfully delivered.
Kind of, like, ham-fisted in how it was written, so it just made for a good pairing. It was, like, funny to me. And I would say my least favorite part was the really, really aggressive toplessness, because it wasn't just once or twice. It was like, it was a lot.
Aaron, would you?
Would I recommend it?
Yeah.
I think as a whole, no, but I did like bits and pieces of it. Quite a bit of it I actually did like. It just got drugged down with too many of the repetitive scenes.
And AJ with hallways and strip
clubs. No, it's not that. It's just that it didn't fit into the timeline or the story much. There wasn't anything really going on there. It would just start off like you're in a good scene, things are getting good, and then it's like fade to black, cue shitty 90s band, and there's some strip club stuff going on. And it's just, it didn't, it was just, oh, what are we going to do next? Let's just go back to the strip club. It's like you're hanging out with your friend and all he wants to do is go to the strip club. Like, hey, man, you want to grab some dinner? We could go to get dinner or we could go to the strip club. And it's just like every time it would go back to the strip club. It was so repetitive.
Rebecca?
I don't think I'm going to recommend this one. like I said, when we started, I thought the dialogue was fun. I liked the main character. It just didn't keep my attention, and it was too many boobs.
I mean, this is the most sexed up B-grade Blade Runner ripoff you'll find. I liked it. I liked all the characters. I liked that they attempted to have some cool sci-fi world-building stuff. You had cyborgs. You had cyborg elements with the wires and the circuitry and all that stuff. They had cool technology. Yeah, sure. You repeated a bunch of sets and stuff. I did feel a little bit bored that they kept switching between about three different places, but I don't know. I liked the characters and the dialogue and stuff enough that I was entertained. I personally speaking did not have an issue with all the boobs. I didn't think it was like Death Stalker level of gratuitousness. There was a lot of them, but most of the time it was in like humorous situations, I thought. So
I wasn't turned off by the boobs because it was disgusting or something. I love boobs. I was turned off because it was boring. It was just boring.
I don't know. I thought this movie was a lot funnier than I was expecting it to be. I would like to see Fred Olen Ray's Sword and Sorcerer movie.
I would also like to see that. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess we'll just have to watch it next week.
I mean, I guess we'll just have to watch it. We're not watching it next week, though, but I guess we'll just have to watch it. But next week, we're going to watch the 1988 horror movie Slugs. So,
oh, man.
Let's go check out that trailer.
Don't go in the basement.
No, get out of it! No, no, no.
Steer clear of the sewers. And whatever you do, don't make out while your parents aren't home. Slugs. It may be the most shocking movie you will ever see. Slugs.
Oh man, I hope we didn't just see all the good parts in the trailer, because that looked awesome.
That looked really good. I love that logo design.
Yeah, that was really cool.
It has like a slug in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool.
And there were like explosions and like face explosions and all kinds of explosions.
When I not thinking about it. Having watched the trailer, I was like, okay, yeah, we'll watch Slugs. I was just thinking like Slugs Leeches is what I was thinking of randomly. But then when we started watching it, I'm like, wait, Slugs? They're not scary at all. They're kind of cute. Like, I like Slugs.
They are. They got their cool little antennae and they're very slow. I don't get it. And you just put them in the sun if you don't want to deal with them and they'll die. Like, what? What's going on here?
So harsh.
No, I'm not saying I would do that. I'm just saying, like, I'd just run away from them.
I run away. Nah, yeah, this movie looks cool. It looks like it has a lot of cool gore effects, which I wasn't really expecting. And it looks like it has some nice sets and stuff that they showed a lot of stuff where they're in a sewer system. And it reminded me of the sewer from Breeders, but a little bit better done.
Very true.
I'm excited for this. What was the last movie we watched with killer bugs?
It was not ticks, but the
mosquito.
No, It had the cockroaches. They were cockroaches on an island.
Oh.
I forget what that was called. Parasite?
No.
It was, Jesus Christ.
Parasite was that 3D thing. It was terrible.
Oh, with Demi Moore. We've watched so much shit. Yeah. How can I? I don't remember. But this looks good. I'm pretty excited for this. I don't know anything about who made it or anything. It was just recommended to us a while ago, and I thought we should check it out. And yeah, I don't know. Anything else? I'm pumped, guys. I'm pumped. Guys? Oh my God. Wait, okay. This is by Juan Picuer Simon. He also did a little movie called Pieces, which is awesome.
Pieces.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, so next week we're watching Slugs. I do have a few things to say here. We did get a bunch of notes about our Death Stalker 2 episode. One guy said, this movie is so much fun, and it looks like the actors had fun on set. If the bloopers are anything to go by, did you guys check out those bloopers when you were watching Death Stalker 2?
No, I didn't realize there were any.
Oh, man, you missed it. They're awesome. You should go back and check it out. They're right after the credits. It cuts to a bunch of blooper scenes.
What?
Yeah, go check it out. Ian the Kiltmaker says that was our best episode yet. And Mike W., who is a fan of the show, said that the dude from Chopping Mall should absolutely be in every movie. And he's also sending us a copy of The Uninvited 1988, which is like a killer cat on a cruise ship. So we have that to look forward to as well.
Cat on a cruise ship?
Yeah. It looks awesome.
That sounds amazing.
So make sure you tune in next week when we talk about Slugs. And if you like what you heard, go to the iTunes.com and leave us a review. Go to badmovienightpodcast.com. Check out all of our episodes of our show, our video show. Join us on our subreddit. Tell us what we should be watching. We're looking for recommendations right now. We have a few here, but we'd like to hear some more. So send us what you got. Give us some feedback. And until next week, I will be... I'll just be here and we'll see you then. All right, bye.
Where are we going with that one?
I don't know. I was trying to think of something witty to say.
I'll just be here working on my girl robot.
Thanks for listening to the Bad Movie Night Podcast. You were on your own. If you have any questions or recommendations, send us an email at info@badmovienightpodcast.com. Thanks for listening. You must be crazy. Man, I've seen some bad films. When I say bad, I didn't watch them all the way through. If I had, I'd be crazy by now.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.